Welcome to Learn How to Buy and Sell Cars with Randy Adams. Randy has been in business for decades and is ready to share with you everything you need to know about buying, selling, trading, and dealing with cars. Now, let's talk cars with Randy Adams.
Hello, San Antonio and South Texas. Welcome to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. You are listening to KTSA News Talk Radio 550 AM. My name is Arnie, and sitting in studio with me is the host of Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA, Randy Adams. Randy's been in the car business for many, many years, and we're here to talk cars, buying and selling, trading, you name it. If it's got the word car in it, we're talking about it. How are you today, Randy?
Great. Thank you, San Antonio, for the response that we've had, the calls, the emails, the questions. It's been awesome to hear from each and every person. I'm so thrilled that I can help somebody. I want to educate you every way that I can, get you prepared where you can make the right choices and save a lot of money. We waste so much money throwing this money off when we try to buy or sell a car. I want to give you that opportunity to learn. I'm so thankful you're listening today.
Again, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. Randy, why don't you give out your phone number for folks who may be in the process of looking to buy or sell a car that might have a question that want to talk to you off air?
Sure. My number is 830-625-7159. It may take me a day to get back to you, but I'd love to talk to you. I will return your call. We'll try to help you any way that we can. We just want to get you prepared, let you know what the market is, because the market's down right now, and this is a good time to buy up till July 15th. Of course, income tax checks kick in the 15th of January. Cars will jump up 1,500 or so, but they're down right now. I'd hate to be one of these dealerships that's on 1,000 or 2,000 cars and the market's dropped about $2,000. That's a big loss. But, of course, they want you to pay that. They don't want to pay that. They want to still make money on you because it takes a lot of money to open the door every day at these dealerships. So we want to have you ready for what the market's going on today, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk about a couple other things. So, Marty, you got anything to say?
Well, we give out your website quite often. Again, it's learntobuyandsellcars.com. Expand a little bit to the listeners on why it would be a great idea to go to your website and what they can find.
Well, we'll make you an offer on your car. We've got a description. You just follow through on the computer, and when you describe that car to us, we'll give you an accurate price what we'll give. If you've described it right, we'll dead on the money. If there's a little something wrong, we may have to cut a little off, but at least you got the market, because too many people go into a dealership and they offer them half what the car's worth, and then they bump the price up on what they're selling. You end up spending $4,000 to $6,000 more than what you should. So if we give you an offer on that car, you know where you stand. You can sell it to your neighbor, you sell it to your friends, relatives, or you can trade it in, or you can try to sell it on your own. We'll help you tell you what you need to do to get that car to sell and make it an easier way to sell than what it sits as its present condition. So, yeah, let us know. Go to our website, learntobuyandsellcars.com, and I thank you for that opportunity to tell you what your car is worth and have an opportunity to either buy the car or set you on the market. I want to thank KTSA again for being family with me. That's KTSA 550 AM. They've been an awesome family to me. They brought me on. They want you to know. They want you to be educated. They want you to be able to buy a car without fear, without intimidation, being prepared at all times. So this station is here for you. They're for the listeners. They're there to help their listeners in order to save money and not to give it away.
Thanks, Randy. I've been with KTSA again. My name's Arnie, helping co-host Learn to Buy and Sell Cars with Randy. I've been with KTSA for 19 years, doing a little bit of radio, doing a little bit of helping people build their businesses. And, you know, again, when Randy came to KTSA with this idea, being out in the marketplace as much as I am, there's a great need and a great desire, because there's so many people, including myself, are just uneducated, and rightfully so. We don't know what's good or bad when buying to sell a car. And, you know, we walk out wondering when we trade one in or buy a new one. I mean, I've done it throughout many years. And, even when the whole process is complete, I don't know if I had a good deal or a bad deal.
Well, it's just like education. I mean, we go to high school, and it'd be like a high school student going against somebody who's got a master's, and you're trying to fight with them or argue with them or study under science, and they've got a master's degree, and you're a freshman in high school. I was ignorant under the assumption that I thought I knew the radio business. I walked in this with KTSA, and I didn't know a thing. I was ignorant about it. But I assumed that I knew what I was doing because I've owned a lot of businesses. I bought and sold a lot of stuff, and I thought I knew what I was doing. It's the same thing with you in buying and selling a car. Where is the school to go to learn and buy and sell cars? Where do you learn? Do you learn from your father or your grandfather? Or are you dogmatic and you know it all? If you're dogmatic, know it all, dealerships will really eat you up because they'll say, hey, you're right. You know exactly what you're doing. And then they'll just take advantage of you, you know, or they'll just spin it till you spin you around until they know that you don't know what you're talking about, but they'll keep telling you, yes, you know. Well, we want you not to assume what to do. We want to teach you exactly step by step what to have in your hand, how to be prepared, have that pen and paper in your hand, write down everything they say, and take a calculator so you know exactly what the interest rate is, exactly what the car is going to cost, so you know what you're spending. You do not want to lose this car 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road because you made a bad mistake, you're paying too much for the car, and the dealership made all the money. We want the dealership to make some money, but we don't want to be ripped off, and I want to help you in that situation.
Something else really cool about Randy and the show and his education in this field is you don't have to sign on the dotted line or have anybody rush you into it not knowing. What's really cool about this show is that if you're in the market of buying or selling, or maybe your family member is, or your mom or your grandma, or you're looking for a used or a new car, whatever the case is, you don't have to sign anything until you know exactly what's right and what's wrong and what's a good deal and what's a bad deal. And that's where Randy comes in.
That's right. Be prepared. Study. Don't just start one day and decide you're going to buy a car that day or the next day. Think about it all year long. Talk to people. Talk to your mechanic. Talk to it's good to find you a body shop just in case you come across a car that you really like, you really need, and it's got some minor body damage. You can go to your mechanic or your body man and say, hey, what is it going to take to fix this car? And if I'm saving $3,000 and I can fix it for $1,000, and there's a lot of situations where there's a little damage on a car and people will back it up $3,000, well, you can take it to your body shop, spend that $1,000 and have the car fixed. If we take the cars off the market that have been in accidents, we're going to take 70% of the cars off the market. There's no cars left. So technology has really exploded. People can fix these cars right. They're better engineered. So if you're driving a car that's been in an accident or two, no problem. Years ago, I was struggling and I didn't have the money to buy real nice stuff. I'd buy cars with damage on it, and I'd fix them. My wife and I drove cars that had been in accidents, and they're still running today, and that was 15, 20 years ago that we fixed cars that we resold them. And, of course, we told the people because we want them to know the truth about everything they're doing. And a small accident does not hurt a car. It does not. It hurts the value, yes. Buy it a lot cheaper. Do not pay full retail price for a car that's been in an accident. But we want to teach you that, what that market is.
Yeah. Again, if you're just tuning in or just happen to jump in the car, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. You're tuning in to Randy Adams, the host of the show. My name is Arnie, and we're talking cars. We're talking the buying process, the selling process, the do's and the don'ts. Kind of to add on a little bit, Randy, in addition to what you had just said, before you sign that dotted line, you can go to learntobuyandsellcars.com, and whatever the question, ask it. You don't have to go there just to find out what the value of the car is. There's so much more to it. Just any question that comes up that'll give you a better comfort level, you can ask it right there on that website.
Don't let that salesman tell you you've got to buy the car today because you don't. If you miss that car, it's meant to be. And drive down any street in San Antonio, the lots are full, and we're about to see rent cars hit the market, off-lease cars hit the market, and now they're pushing 2015's left and right. The new car dealers are going to be sitting on a bunch of cars. So availability is going to be plenty. And when that happens, cars get cheaper. Prices get cheaper. But, of course, we're sitting on a situation where a lot of people can't afford stuff that's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And it's just transportation. That's all it is. And, you know, there's two kinds of cars, afford and can't afford. So make up your mind what you can afford before you go out to purchase a car. And don't let a salesman talk you into something that's a super, super deal, because right now they may own that thing $3,000-$4,000 from what the real market is, because Highline cars have slipped and all cars above $15,000 have slipped because everybody's wanting that good $6,000 to $8,000 cars and there's not enough of them.
Yeah, so many people, Randy, like myself, and I'm sure a lot of the folks listening, you go into the car dealership, whether it be new or used, you look for that certain car that you want, you go in saying, I'm gonna buy what's affordable, I'm gonna do what's affordable, I'm gonna try to stay within my means, and it never fails. One way or the other, by the time you drive out, you say to yourself, wait a minute, what did they just do? What did they add on? What did they just tell me? It's not what you thought it was gonna be.
No, that happens all the time. That's why I don't want you pen and paper in your hand so you can write down everything. And if you have a question, question them about it and write it down. Make the salesman sign the piece of paper that you make notes on, because they'll spend you. And a lot of them will tell you 48 months. And then when you sign up at 72 months, you're stuck there with 72 months. And when you're talking about $400 to $600 and you paying another 20 months of that, that's a huge amount of money.
Well, you were talking last week, Randy, you in very simplistic terms. I mean, you take bottom line, and you know, it's very simple, but it's kind of like the Dave Ramsey plan, what you told me was simple, and expand on a little bit. You had said take the amount of months times the payment and multiply it and see where you're at and see what you're really paying for that car.
Right, and go to your finance institution, whoever you do business with, and check new ones out. And we're going to have some online soon that we're working with right now. We want to make sure they're going to take care of our customers properly and correctly. And so get your financing lined up. See what your interest rates you're going to pay. And if the dealership that you're buying from has got 1% or 0.5%, and you want to leave that banking institution wide open to borrow money on an emergency or something else that's coming up, go ahead and go with the dealership. But don't let them tattoo you for 2 to 10% extra interest, because they will if they get the chance. Just a quick story, friends of mine. They just got married. They went to buy a new truck. They separated them. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, they told the husband that his wife's credit was bad, and then they told the wife the husband's credit was bad. And so they tattooed them for another 10% interest. Well, when they get home, the husband says, well, we're paying more on this truck because of your bad credit. She said, oh, no, you're the one with the bad credit. And so they came to me, and we pulled their credit, and their credit was excellent. Well, my buddy wanted to hurt them. I said, oh, no, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. Now, if you'd wrote down what they had to say and you'd have studied a little longer and not been such a hurry to buy that truck, you know, you could have corrected that deal. But it happened that way, and I guess you're going to have to pay for it or go trade it in on another one or do something. And when you roll off that curb, you just lost $5,000 on that vehicle. So it's tough to overcome that. So be prepared. Don't get in a hurry. Make sure that you're making wise decisions. And if you're uncomfortable, these boots are made for walking. Get up and walk out quick, quick, quick.
Right on. That's an old San Antonio. Is that a South Texas or San Antonio little analogy there with the boots made for walking? Where did that come from?
I think that was a song, wasn't it?
That's a song. These boots were made for walking. All right. Again, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. We're in studio with host Randy Adams. We're talking everything and anything about car buying and selling. And since you just brought up, you know, folks' credit on when you get to a dealership, and, you know, you advise folks to, you know, check their bank as well, there seems to be a passing credit score for just about anybody, depending on where you go buy a car, whether it be new or used. It seems like there's a different score that meets everybody's needs. Why is that?
Well, it varies for whoever, how loose they are. I was talking to a motorcycle dealer the other day, and they're taking credit scores way down there, but they need to move the units, you know. And a lot of, I've seen Chrysler get way down on their scores where they would take them. And it just depends on what their inventory is, what their money factor is. If they're sitting on a bunch of money, they'd rather sell the cars and put them out there. And you got that opportunity. But if you've earned your credit, you know, there's plenty of buy here, pay here lots all over the San Antonio and the area, and they're all full. They got plenty of cars to sell, so don't get excited that somebody's willing to sell you a car with bad credit, because there's probably 500 dealerships in San Antonio that'll sell you a car with bad credit. Make sure you buy the right car at the right price. You're going to pay 26% interest, but that's due to some hiccups that you've had and that your credit's bad. But don't let anybody tell you not. And I'm going to tell you, if you get, you save up a bunch of cash, I don't care how bad your credit is, you can buy a late model or low miles or a new car because you've got cash. And these banks, these manufacturers will take you even with bad credit because you got cash, because cash does talk, and it talks pretty well.
Yeah, again, folks, you're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. Host Randy Adams, host of the show. You can get a hold of Randy personally at 830-625-7159. That's 830-625-7159. There's no bad question. If you're not, you know, used to using a computer and you don't want to go online to ask a question, or find out what your car is worth, you know, Randy invites you to give him a call.
Thank you. I'll answer every one of them I can. If I can't the same day, I'll definitely call you back the next day or two. Love to answer any question that you have, help you any way that I can, give you the knowledge that I've learned, because knowledge is power, and you can do this. You can make the right decisions. Take your time. And we know that you can do it, because I've helped so many people make better choices. I've had a lot of preachers in New Brunswick come to me, and they owe $10,000, a couple right now. I still sell them cars 20 years later, and they owe $10,000 too much on his truck and $10,000 too much on her van. So we worked them out. We let them put so many miles on a vehicle, and we'll talk about mileage when you should trade or not. But I kept him in good vehicles for about 3 years, and we got him where they had equity. And he's got a car he's driving right now that he has owned for 5 years. It's been paid for 4 years. And I tell him, I said, you're driving free. You are driving free. Save that money. Put them payments. Act like you're paying it again. Put it in the bank. And when you get ready, we'll sell you a real nice low mileage one and put it in. You'll have the cash, or most of the cash. But you can work it out. Just like Dave Ramsey says, it's just transportation. Buy something you can afford. Don't waste that money. Keep the value up on the car. Take care of your car. But, you know, there's a lot of times when you get to 49,000 miles, you're trying to make a decision whether I keep the car or not. The real hard number is probably 86,000 right now. You really need to decide if you're going to keep the car. I had a friend of mine call me on a Mercedes. It's got 85,000 miles. He wanted to know, well, should I keep it or driving? I said, do you love the car? He said, I love the car. It's doing exactly what I want. I said, well, run it to 130,000 miles, or maybe 120, and then let's take another look, you know, because if you keep it under 120, it's okay. You go past 130 and 40, then you're going to have to keep it even longer. But you've got a lot of good value out of it. You've saved a lot of money. You can put them payments like you're making payments in the bank. And when you get ready to buy something else, you can. Of course, this car cost him $130,000 new, and so he's trying to make it get the most value he can now. And at that situation, I told him, I said, you know, after we thinking about it, weighing it up, I'd off the car because of the value is going to be the best right now. And when it passed 100,000 miles, you're going to take a big hit.
It's quite a story. Again, folks, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA. This is show number 5. We're putting in the books here today, and we're grateful for your listenership. If you will, tell your friends and family about the show. We want to make you part of our family here at KTSA and Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. Again, you can get a hold of Randy at 830-625-7159. All right, Randy, St. Nick's just around the corner. People out there are thinking about buying their loved ones something nice. A lot of cars are sold. What should we be doing as a buyer if there's somebody out there looking to buy their loved one a vehicle right now? Is there anything that they better be careful for, or that tell us some of the naughty and some of the nice things they should look for?
Well, first off, what can you afford? What fits your situation? What fits your family? How many miles are you going to put on it? What kind of fuel mileage do you want? What kind of size, comfort, and safety do you want? There's a lot of options on that. And then, you know, if you're buying it for your wife, make sure that's exactly what you want and the color that she wants, because you don't want to buy a color that she don't like. She may hear about it for the next 10
that's
years
trouble.
Or 5 years, yep, or whatever you keep the car. So just weigh it up, everything. I see too many people run out and buy cars. I've got a 34 Ford Coupe that a lady bought her husband for his birthday, and it's not what he likes. She ended up selling it to a friend of mine who sold it to me, and that wasn't what he wanted. But she was thinking that's what he wanted, because how many times has a wife saw her husband look at a car and say, hey, that's a neat car and pretty cool, but it's not really what they want to buy or what they want to drive or what they want to do with. So make sure when you're buying somebody a vehicle, it's exactly what they want. Ask them questions. I know everybody wants to surprise somebody with a gift, but when you're talking about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, a mistake like that is costly.
Well, a lot of buyers out there in the marketplace, as well as myself, I mean, I bought a car before just purely off looks and color. I didn't know much about the car other than, hey, that's a pretty good-looking car. And that car laid on my back and in my pocketbook for a lot of years to come, and I had to learn to love that car even though I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, well, every time you look at it, you thought about it. And I'm hoping that you're learning more about it now, because we want to teach you exactly. And, you know, we all can get in a trap, especially when you let pride, greed, and keeping up with the Joneses with you, because I've seen too many people go out and buy a car just because somebody they work with has got one like it. Oh, man, you know. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't care if they hate the car, they'll lie to you and say, oh, man, it's the best car in the world. I used to have a buddy of mine. Every time he walked in, he would say, man, I love this truck. Oh, man, I love this truck. And then he'd tell his wife, I hate this truck. I hate it. And she'd say, well, why do you tell everybody you love it? He said, that way they'll want it too, because if I tell them I hate it, they won't want it.
Hey, that's a pretty good philosophy in a lot of different things.
Well, I've had dealers the same way. I've got a dealer I deal with in Amarillo, Texas right now, and every car he's got's the best in the world. And then when you got it, oh, man, I don't like it at all. He called me about a Viper that he was buying. It was a brand newest Viper. It was a 01, and it was really, really nice. And you ought to see this car. And then he bought it, and I think he found out it wasn't that nice, so he sold it, you know. And so he sold it to a guy both of us know. And so the guy was trying to sell me the car, and I said, yeah, I've heard about the car. And so I talked to my buddy again that had sold him the car, and he said, yeah, that's an old bad car. It's a rough old car. And now he's traded back for it, and it's back to being new. It's amazing.
It's a beautiful car,
well,
all of a sudden, huh?
Depends on if you're pitching or catching, you know.
Well, it depends who's got the keys. When he's got the keys and it's on his lot, it's worth about it's a diamond. The minute he turns the keys over to the buyer, it's a dud, huh?
When it's gone, it's a dud. It's, you know, it's no good anymore, you know.
Oh, man, that's scary stuff.
But that's the way the car business is. It's prideful. I mean, a lot of people pride. Of course, people buy by pride. You know, I deserve this car. What do we really deserve? Do we deserve a brand new Mercedes or what? What can you afford? I mean, it's just transportation. I own a lot of cars, and I don't care what I drive. I just want one to start. I want the air to work in the summertime. That's nice if I have to. But I can live without air, because when I started this business back in 63, very few cars had air, and if they did, it didn't work. So, I mean, you know, just get you something that beats walking, beats the bus, beats anything that you can do, because it'll save you money in the long run. And then you can save up money and buy what you want. My dad used to tell me, if you got half the money, you can buy it. And I thought, man, half the money was a lot of money back then. But I learned to say, okay, I don't need it until I can afford it. And that's what he was trying to teach me.
So with it being Christmas, but before I get to that, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. We are welcoming our new host to the KTSA lineup, Randy Adams, to the KTSA family, and we're grateful for you as a family listening in to the show as well. You can reach Randy at 830-625-7159. That's 830-625-7159, or you can go to Learn to Buy and Sell cars.com with any questions, or if you'd like to find out exactly what your vehicle is worth.
And also, you remember, this time everybody needs cash for Christmas, don't take your car to a title loan place. It's 330% interest. Let me buy your car. You handle what you need to get handled. Go buy you some cheap transportation, because if you borrow $5,000 on a title loan, you owe 930 days. Well, you done spent the money. You got the 900, they'll come get your car. And if you got that 900, they need 900 again and again and again and again. And you're going to pay back $30,000 for a $5,000 loan. Nobody can overcome that. Nobody I know. And it's bad business, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. Then you lose the payments and you lose the car. So sell me your car. Go to Randy. You can call me at 830-625-7159 or learntobuyandsellcars.com.
I can tell, and I've told this story once before. I think it was one of our first shows, but I think it's at least worthy of sharing very quickly again. I had a 2006 or 7 Silverado, really nice shape. It was a 4x4, beautiful car, great shape. I think it had like 80,000 miles, and not so much because I needed the money, Randy, but because I was just looking for convenience. I took the car one day to a well-known dealership here in San Antonio that advertises, hey, we'll buy your car. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's go knock it out. I'll get some cash in my hand, and you know, I know what I wanted and what I was going to purchase afterwards. So, let's make it convenient and quick. Took the car over there. The short of the story is they offered me $1,000 for a 80,000 mile Chevy Silverado pickup, leather interior, clean as could be, and they did it with a straight face. I took the car home, looked at my wife at the time, and thinking, am I that stupid or are they that smart? And put it up for sale, and I got $6,000 for it as opposed to $1,000. What a slap in the face. That really bothered me.
Well, True Car and USAA has a buying system also, and we're one of their bidders on it, and we win the bids about 70% of the time. Anytime I get in competition with the other big guys that do a lot of buying around town, I usually beat them 9 out of 10 times. I had a good friend of mine with a Corvette sitting at a local place that advertises that they buy a lot of cars, and they were offering him $21,000. He was having difficulty getting a hold of me, and he finally found my cell number because he called his wife. She gave him my cell number. He called me. He said, Randy, the Corvette you sold me 4 years ago, I need to sell it. I bought a 14. What can I get for my car? And I said, well, I'd like to buy the car. He said, well, I've been offered $21,000. I said, well, what do you want for your car? And he said, I want 24.5. I said, well, bring me the car. I'll buy it. So he brought me the car. I gave him the 24.5. It was $3,500 more than what the other people had offered. And I sold it about 15 minutes later, made a good profit, and went down the road.
So if this sounds like any of our listeners out there, what better way to get some quick Christmas cash? What better way to sell your car conveniently? And most importantly, what better way to sell your car knowing that you're going to get a fair price for the vehicle?
And you can say yes or no. You got that option. You can try to sell it on your own. You can sell it to a relative, or you can go try trade it. You know, if you don't believe what we offer, and we're the top buyers, one of the top buyers around, but 9 out of 10 times we're going to be on high. And if, you know, it doesn't fit your situation, or you feel like it's not enough, or if you'd like to sell it on your own, do that. We just want to give you the option to know what fair market is, and you can go sell it on your own or sell it to somebody else.
Randy, what about folks out there who say they're not a collector, but they've got old cars sitting out back rusting away in the backyard, or, you know, who knows, maybe some mothers or fathers out there have something sitting in their garage that maybe the loved one has passed on, and they're just not quite sure what to do with it. So antiques, mint cars, what about those vehicles?
We'll buy them all. I know where a 39 Ford coupe is that I would like to have, and I'll buy anything. And this coupe has been sitting in the garage for 20 years, and it's just sitting there. And the guy says, well, I'm going to get to it, and I'm going to fix it up. He hadn't touched it in 20 years. And so finally, I kept telling him, I want to buy your car. I'll buy your car. And so it was a situation where his wife overheard the conversation. And so after about a week of nagging, I think she talked him into selling me the car, and I bought the car and resold it. I sold a gentleman a 32 Ford coupe years ago, and he parked it in his garage. 12 years later, he hadn't done nothing with it. I'd been trying to buy the car. I ran into his wife at HEB, and I said, you know, I've been trying to buy that 32 coupe that your husband hadn't touched in 12 years that's in your garage. She said, be there tomorrow with the money. I said, he doesn't want to sell it. She said, he's going to sell that car. It hadn't moved in 12 years. It's in my garage, and I want to do something with it. Be there tomorrow with the money. And she told him, and he called me up, and he said, what are you doing? I said, hey, man, I'm just carrying a conversation with your wife, and I happened to mention that I've been trying to buy that car. He said, well, come get it out of my garage and bring me the money.
That's funny. Friends, you're listening to KTSA News Talk Radio. This is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars with your host, Randy Adams. My name is Arnie, sitting in helping host the show. We're grateful that you're tuning in. Please share the show with friends and family and anybody who has a car question in the buying and selling process or any car question in general. You can reach Randy at 830-625-7159. You can go to learntobuyandsellcars.com. Easy, simple website to ask any car question. Find out what your car is worth, even if you're not selling it. Find out what the value is. It's always good to know what you're sitting on, kind of like what we're talking about now. We're talking about vehicles that sit out in the backyard, vehicles, you know, in barns, vehicles that have a tarp on them that haven't been touched in years. If you're not saving them for an antique or for any good reason, it's just money wasted. It's just sitting.
Well, it's an opportunity for somebody, and I recommend the dads and the moms and the kids get together and make a project out of it, because all the work you do to it, the car's going to be worth more money. You can enjoy the fellowship, the camaraderie. I've sold cars to people, and they've worked it and cleaned it up and fixed it up with their children, and they have grown a bond that's stronger than anything they ever imagined. Plus, we don't teach kids how to work on cars anymore. We don't teach them how to change a flat. We don't teach them enough that they need to get by bare basics, and we need to do that. We need that time with our kids. We need to train them up so they know what to do in an emergency, what to do when they need to fix a car, where to take it, what's going on, because they're not involved. They're not involved in a purchase. Take them with you on a purchase. That irritates the dealership, but that's all right. Let them run wild. That's what they do at my place. So, but now take them and let them get involved in how you're purchasing the car, and let them learn from my website. You know that any 3-year-old can get on my website and walk through it. So let them learn and understand what they need to know, because it won't be long they'll be buying cars. Of course, we need to train them also not to bankrupt you on your first car. Let these people teach these kids that it's basic transportation. They don't need these Camaros, because the Camaros and the Mustangs, they'll get tickets, they'll lose their license, the insurance will go out of sight, and they'll be back to a bicycle or walking. So save that stress on you and children by teaching them at an early age. You're just going to get good basic transportation. That's all you need. Kids, don't bankrupt your parents.
This is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio, in studio with host Randy Adams. This show is all about, you know, answering questions and giving great answers and giving great advice. We're starting a new segment on the show that we kind of leaned into a little bit last week, and I think it might be about time to get into it. What are we going to name this segment? You had mentioned it earlier.
Fast and Furious.
The Fast and the Furious. I like that. So in basically what we're going to do, folks, every week we're going to take a certain time frame of the show, and we're going to try to get through as many questions as we can from listeners that have either called Randy or sent him a questionnaire to his website at Learn to Buy and Sell Cars.
Also, this week I had I buy from a lot of companies around. I buy from hotels. I buy from companies, oil field companies and all. But I had one of the workers at one of the oil field companies, a truck was coming up for bid, and I was going to end up bidding on it, but they let one of their coworkers have the car, and they gave him a price. So he called me to ask me what the truck was going to be worth or what I was going to bid on it, because they were offering it to him. And they offered it to him at a fair price. And I told him, I said, hey, I'll give that for the truck. So if you don't want to buy it, let, you know, just leave it there. I'll end up buying it from the company. So if you run across that situation or off lease, I had also friends of mine that had a Cadillac Escalade coming off lease, and they had an option to buy it or turn it back into lease. And they had paid where the unit was worth more money than what the payoff on the lease was. I advised them. I said, do you like the car? Oh, yeah, it's exactly like we want. We may lease another one. I said, well, buy this one because you've already paid off the curb disaster when you went over the curb. So go ahead and just buy that unit and use it instead of buying a new one or leasing a new one. So there's a lot of opportunities. We'd be glad to guide you on your next purchase or guide you on what your vehicle's worth so you know where you stand in the deal.
So it sounds to me like whether if you have a fleet of cars, you have one car, you have five cars, you know, it doesn't matter. If you were telling me the other day, Randy, you even buy things from the oil fields.
Yeah, I buy. I had also last year we had a company called a dealer friend of mine in Dallas that I've done business with for 40 years. He called me up and he said, do you want to go with me and buy 100 hail damage cars? And they were brand new cars and they were hail damage. And the insurance company was paying for them. So we made a bid on the 100 and the insurance company ended up taking them to an auction up north because cars are short up there. And they sold them with the hail up there. And come to find out, they brought less money up there what we offered. They lost transportation. They lost sales fees. So they'd have been better off selling them to us here in Texas instead of sending them to Pennsylvania. So, we buy from oil fields. I do a lot of business with the hotels around. Help them with their 15-passenger vans. I buy their 15-passenger vans. So any company unit that you need to dispose of, give me a call. We're getting a lot of calls from companies wanting to get rid of stuff by the end of the year. We'd be glad to make you an offer. If it's a large group, we'll come and look, whatever it takes to help you see exactly where you stand.
This is LearnToBuyAndSellCars.com here on KTSA News Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Let's get to the Fast and the Furious, Randy. Let's get some questions from the listeners. If you're ready to roll with that, we're going to get started.
Sure. Thank you.
Here comes question number one from Mark here in San Antonio. Randy, how can so many dealers say they'll pay off my car no matter what the cost? I'm so upside down, I can't even see straight. How is that possible?
Well, they just roll it over. If you owe $5,000 too much, you're going to owe $5,000 on the new one. More than likely, you're going to owe $7,000 or $8,000 too much. They'll pay it off because they have to in order to take it a trade. We had a dealership not long ago, a couple of years ago, wasn't paying people's cars off. And that was a little bit of a hassle because they owed payments and they were trying to repo them and they'd traded it in. So it ended up, they finally got their business straight. But no, if you owe too much and you hate the car, all you're going to do is hate the next one because you're going to owe too much on that one. Go to work, make payments on it, get it paid down. Don't try to put as many miles on it. Take care of it, clean it up, get prideful of it. Take care of that unit where it keeps its value and you can sell it or do something else with it. Because if you go to sell and trade it, usually those stores won't talk to you about price. They're going to talk to you about payments, and they're going to get every dollar they can out of you, and most of the time more than you can afford. And so you're going to walk out of there in a new car, yes, but there's a good chance you may lose it down the road or lose your credit or hurt your credit by the time you're trying to make those great big payments on a new unit. And usually they're going to sell you something that they need to get rid of that's been in stock too long or is an oddball color or oddball equipment, but they keep telling you that you're getting rid of your payment. Yeah, your payment was $550, now it's $750. So you didn't gain any ground there, really, except you do have a new car, and now you're going to have to make payments to 72 or 84 months where you were down to probably owing 30 months on your last vehicle.
All right. Thank you so much for that question, Randy. Great answer. Let's go to our next question. Again, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio with your host, Randy Adams. Here's an interesting one, Randy. This comes in headed from Mom. All right, Mom, I'm going to give Randy your question. Here it comes. This is from Mom, Randy. Randy, my daughter wants to co-sign for her boyfriend on a new vehicle. I've been begging her not to do it. Can you please help me help her?
Well, sounds like he's in love with her credit anyway. And you don't know how long he's going to stay around. And I see this every day. I've seen so many people co-sign for units and they're gone in the car or the relationship breaks up. I mean, it's a tough, tough, bad situation. I'd advise against it. I had an employee, my dad and I back in the 70s had an employee and he wanted to buy a car from us. And so the boy went down, the young man went down to the bank and the banker told him, well, I can't finance it for you, but if Randy's dad will finance it, co-sign it, we'll sell it to you. So Billy showed up at my dad's office and he said, hey, I can get that car bought. All you got to do is co-sign it. My dad said, man, I wouldn't even co-sign for Randy. Why would I co-sign for you? So I said, Dad, you wouldn't co-sign for me. He said, no, you need to make it on your own, boy. And that's the way I feel about that because I see too many girlfriends buying boyfriends' cars, and they're just in love with their credit. And you know how long relationships, how tough they are. And they don't last long enough. They won't outrun the note on the car. Most relationships, most marriages won't, even if they marry them, you know?
Oh, boy. Mom, don't know your real name, but I love Mom. Thank you so much for that question. That was entertaining. And I say, and second what Randy said, grab your daughter by the scruff of her neck, pull her in the house, and put her credit card away, and don't give her a pen. All right, let's go on to the next question. Again, this is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA Radio. You're listening to host Randy Adams. Randy, this next question comes in from another gentleman named Randy from Corpus Christi. Randy, I have a cheap car that works pretty well for my family. It serves the purpose. I may not trust it in full, but we're planning on going on a big trip that we've been saving for quite some time. You think it'd be a good idea to buy a new car for the trip?
Well, if your car is fine for your family and it works well right now, I'd go rent a car. I'd rent me a van or something. There's some deals out there right now that you can get cheap rent on, and I'd rent one and save a whole lot of money because you bring it back and you hand it back to them, and you get a car that you get better fuel mileage than probably what you're driving or what you're going to be buying. Get something with fuel mileage, get something with comfort, get something with safety. And, yeah, you can go take your vacation, enjoy yourself for a couple of $100, and then come back, and everything's great, and you don't have any payments. Wow, no payments. I love that. That's the best kind of car, a paid-for car. And keep that car and keep it running and save that money. Put that money in the bank. Act like it's payments. You got payments on that car, even though it's paid for. Save that cash so when you get ready to buy one, you can pay cash for it. And if it's not trustworthy or you don't feel 100% comfortable in going on a long trip, go rent it for next vacation. I know the rent car people love me for saying that, but I think it's a wise idea instead of taking a car that you're uncomfortable with and most of the time doesn't fit all your luggage and all your family and the dog and the kids and everybody that you're taking. So go rent a van. Go rent whatever will fit your family to go on that vacation.
That's some great advice. I mean, I don't know when the last time it was that I rented a car, but now thinking back, there should have been some times when I did. That's good advice, Randy. This is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio. This is a segment we call The Fast and the Furious, so we're getting through a bunch of questions from listeners. Let's get to the next question. This is from Marion from San Antonio. Marion, thank you so much for writing in and asking Randy this question. Here's another mom who's been trying to convince her son, Randy, of not putting alloy wheels. He's got a 1995 Chevy Blazer, Trailblazer it looks like, and the young man wants to put some big alloy wheels on it. And mom's trying to tell the young man that it's probably not that good of an idea. What's your thought on that?
Well, first off, I want to thank all the listeners for listening. I thank you that the ones that have called KTSA and told them how much they liked our show. And I thank you for the people who are emailing the questions in because, you know, you have the desire to learn. And that's what it takes. We need the desire to make the right decisions. We need the opportunities and the education where we're ready to buy or sell a car. Because this is hard-earned money that we have available. Why give it away to somebody that we don't need to and we don't know on something that we have to pay for with our hard-earned money. So I thank everybody that's calling KTSA 550 AM and emailing KTSA. And you can email us at learntobuyandsellcars.com. You know, here comes a case. Those wheels are probably worth more money than the car. You know, tell him to invest in some wax and wax up the ones he's got and clean it up. Clean his unit up. Take a little effort, a little pride. Clean his unit up. Get it, you know, because odds are you know, if you drive, if he drives like most teenagers or young people, he may hit a curb and destroy a high dollar wheel. He may be making payments on the car. And the wheels and tires also, so that might be a tough situation. But no, don't waste that money on wheels and tires. You know, you're throwing money at that. Save that money, put it in the bank, so the next car you can buy a newer, better unit that looks a little better. Because, yes, if you can afford aluminum wheels, do you have the money? Yes, and you shop them, because there's lots of wheel tire places that make a lot of money. Believe it or not, some wheel and tire places make more money than dealerships. But lots of times you're wasting money on a vehicle, especially when the wheels and the tires are worth more than the car.
I remember years back, I don't know if it's still around anymore, but they targeted young folks just like this mom's son who's got a piece of junk car and wants to put great-looking wheels on it. There used to be a place in San Antonio, and I don't know if it's still around. I think it was called Rent a Tire or Rent a Wheel, and they targeted kids like this.
Oh, yes, and it's a lot of money. It's about like pay loan. Loans are the bad title loan deals. You end up paying for them two or three times, you know. And, you know, they're taking a chance of you paying anyway, so they put the interest on it. So you're wasting a lot of money that you can invest in the transportation. You're wasting a lot of money that you could spend it on something else. So don't take that chance on putting high-dollar wheels. How many times you've seen a car on blocks because somebody stole the wheels and the tires? They may disappear. They can walk off real quick. There's some thieves out there that can walk off with them in 10 minutes and you not know it.
Hey, that'll tell you something. When the wheels are gone but the car's still left, what does that tell you?
It tells you the wheel's worth more than the car.
This is Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA News Talk Radio with host Randy Adams. You can reach Randy at 830-625-7159 or visit his website at learntobuyandsellcars.com. Find out what your car's worth. He'll make you an offer on that car. You got a car question. Whatever the case, feel free to reach out to Randy. Let's go to our next question. This question is from Christine. Randy, is it important what color car I choose when purchasing a new or used vehicle? Does color really matter? And if so, why?
Well, I'm almost to the point where I will not buy a 95-96 green Corvette. I have bought some of them nice, really nice cars and can't give them away. Yes, color does matter. And there's people that when we talk to them, they won't buy a certain color. And there's certain colors right now that are unsellable. Right now, black interior in Phoenix. I do a lot of business in Phoenix, Arizona. They will not buy a car with black interior. So buy the color that you like. It depends on how long you're going to keep it, of course. If you're going to keep the car a long time, yeah, you can buy a pink one or a green one or some crazy color, and that's fine. And muscle cars used to have some really wild colors, and they still, I mean, but if you, that's a 70 Challenger or a Charger or something like that. But yes, color does matter. I've talked to companies, I advise companies, and I've got several of them who are buying trucks for their employees, and they're mixing the colors because a plain white truck that I love, you know, we need variety because we can't dump 40, 50 of these trucks all white on the market at one time. So they're mixing the colors. And also the foremans take pride that they're buying a car or a truck with a good color. And they take a little more pride. It seems like they take care of the unit a little better. But there is some companies that have to have a certain color. I understand that. But when you get out on the market, buy a color that you think will resell, especially if you're not going to keep the car 2 or 3 years. But, yes, there are some colors that are not worth as much as the others.
Is metallic as big today as it was years ago?
No, it's not. It's cooled off a little bit. Paint is improved tremendously. Now we have water-based paint. We have all kinds of different colors. But no, the metallic is not. And also it draws a lot of sunlight and a lot of heat. In Texas, we like lighter colors because the black and the dark blues and the dark brown are awful hot in the summertime. And they're dirtier. They look dirtier. And in color interior means a bunch because black interior, when you sit down, and in Phoenix, it's really bad because they got 120-degree days over there. And you can't sit down on a car's seat because it'll burn you.
Yeah, boy, that's true. I remember the days back when metallic was big. You know, the more metallic people had on their car, the, you know.
Metal flake. It
metal flake. There you go. Oh, metal flake. Yeah. Like dust and the dust in the wind. Yeah, I remember that. This is LearnToBuyAndSellCars.com here on KTSA News Talk Radio. This is a little segment called The Fast and the Furious. We're taking your questions. Randy, let's get on to the next question here. This is from Tom. Very simply put, Randy, my buddy and I sitting down drinking beer always have the same discussion. Chevy or Ford, who wins?
Well, I think it's both of them. Well, and you may as well put Dodge in there and Tacoma, of course, and Tundra, because, you know, San Antonio has become a Toyota town, and that's due to the manufacturer. Of course, I've seen that happen in a lot of places. Marietta, Florida, Ohio, we were up there playing golf one time, and my brother-in-law, who's in the car business, we went through Marietta, and I said, does everybody in this town own a Honda? He said, the Honda factory's right out there, and they appreciate it. I think we're starting to appreciate Toyota here in town, so you see a lot of Tundras. Of course, Tundras don't get the fuel mileage that the Ford and the Chevrolets and the Dodges do, but I don't think there's much difference in preference. It's the body style that you like. There is a difference in body style. The Chevrolet may get a little better fuel mileage. I sold my right-hand man a Chevrolet, and he says he's getting 22 miles to gallon on a 14 I sold him. But overall, buy what you like. And lots of times it's what your dad used to drive and what your grandfather used to drive. So a lot of people will stay loyal to their manufacturer. But I like them all. The best car I own is sold.
Yeah, my daddy, speaking about loyalty, my daddy passed away about 10 years ago, and he loved Hondas. He'd get a new Honda every year, and he'd get one for my mom, and man, he was so proud of Hondas. He was so proud he bought him a Honda lawnmower. Then he got him a Honda snowmobile. Then he had him a Honda outboard motor for his boat. He loved Hondas. So I always teased him. I said, Daddy, if you could have a Honda toilet seat, you'd own one, wouldn't you? He goes, I sure would.
Well, it's what you've had good luck with, you know. There's certain cars right now I hate to buy because I've had bad luck with them recently, and they're hard on me, and I look back and see what I'm making money on and not making money on. And it's easier to make money, honestly, on cars I don't like because I won't give as much. Cars I love, I give too much for them, and I like them. And I don't make as much money on them, but I enjoy them just like antique cars. I love old cars. I love hot rods. And, you know, life's too short. I can afford it. So I buy a toy or two, but I buy them with the right frame of mind. I take the pride out of it. I take the greed out of it, and I buy it what the car's really worth. And that way, when I put a little money into it, get through enjoying it, I can make money. And that's the way people need to look at a vehicle. Take pride in it and make the right decisions. Don't let pride, greed, and selfishness and keeping up with the Joneses help you make the decisions. And don't let the salesman help you make the decision. You make your decisions. Don't let them influence you on what they need to sell and tell you what you need. They don't know. They don't know what you need at all. So don't be fearful of what they're telling you. Don't be intimidated. Make your decisions. You can do it.
Well, bottom line, you know, there's only so many cars on the lot. A lot of times there's a lot. And I'm sure in some of those sales meetings, like any sales meeting, there's certain cars that they want to move, certain cars that they're not as concerned to move. So they're going to lead you in the direction of some cars that they want to move.
They put bonuses on them. Several years ago, way back, dealership, their manager ordered a whole lot of conversion vans, and the owner could not sell them. It was the wrong time of the year. It was horrible. And so they were sitting on, I mean, it was probably close to 400 vans. So the owner put a deal on to the salespeople. All right, you get all the profit it makes, a van makes. I don't want any profit. Here's my cost. Whatever you make on it is yours. And, man, those vans started moving out. Those salesmen put hard sales on people. They talked people into buying vans that never would consider one, and they made plenty of money. And all I heard was some salesmen bragging how much money they made on those vans. And I tell you what, we had them coming back in because I dealt with that dealership. They were coming back in, and those people were taking huge, huge losses. So, yes, there's bonus on cars, old-age cars, cars with bad colors, with bad equipment. And the reason they're sitting there, because they're hard to sell, and they're going to try to sell it to you.
So bottom line, know what you want, get what you need, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, I appreciate this time. I'm thrilled that everybody's wanting to learn. I'm thrilled that you have the desire to improve your financing, improve your way of buying, making the right decisions on buying and selling. It's been a great day here in San Antonio, Texas. I love KTSA 550 AM. I love Chris for helping us, and Arnie's done a great job. I appreciate the time, effort, and what everybody's taught me. Like I said, I came into this business thinking I knew something about the radio business. I was ignorant. I didn't know a thing about it, but I've learned a lot. I continue to learn a lot, and I am open-minded because I want to hear from my listeners what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right. I want to hear from KTSA what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right. And I thank each and every person for listening to us today. And I hope that we can answer any questions you have and help you make the right decisions.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun, Randy, and I look forward to doing it for a lot of years to come. You and I are like ebony and ivory. I'm from Wisconsin, and we got the old Texan boy here from Texas. So you get a little bit from the north and a little bit from the south. So you put those two together, and this is what we deliver. Bottom line, San Antonio, KTSA listeners, you're our family. We welcome you. We appreciate you, and we're grateful for you tuning in. Please do spread the word about the show, learntobuyandsellcars.com. Give Randy a call at 830-625-7159. And most of all, be safe, be loved, love one another, and have a great, great, great rest of your day. Have a great day, and God bless from Learn to Buy and Sell Cars.
Thank you for listening, San Antonio. I love you. God bless you.